Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska!
I don't know what we're yelling about!
The Bob Seska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, June 8, 2023, and this is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how are you? I'm Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi. Day 869 of the Biden-Harris administration, 516 days until the 24th presidential election. You can follow me on Instagram at TheBobSeska, Twitter BobSeska_go, Spoutable Bob Seska, Blue Sky Bob Seska, and in some of those places at Trek Politics too, right? Oh, also our Patreon page is BobSeskaShow.com. All right, Jody isn't here, so we're going to do this.
Yeah.
Walter.
Yes. It's just me and you, David. It is David T-Rex Ferguson, and his music project is Astral Summer, astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Go and download his music right now. Get it into your record collection. What are you waiting for? All right, my friend, how are you?
I'm good. I'm sad for Jody.
Yeah, Jody and Lonnie had to say goodbye to their kitty cat today. Is there anything more difficult? I mean, I guess losing a human child is maybe the worst thing in the world, but the times I've had to do this have stuck with me indelibly, and I can't seem to shake it. And we become attached to these animals as our children, especially those of us who don't have human children. These are our children. They're not pets. They're not something you buy in a store, like going to IKEA or something like that. These are living creatures.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. These are living creatures with empathy and intelligence, and they become attached to you, and they count on you, and you count on them almost as much as they count on you for emotional support and all these things. And when you have to finally say goodbye and do the responsible thing by not letting them suffer unnecessarily. When we had to put down our cat, Miranda, this was right in the meat of the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, I remember.
The vet came to our house, and Kimberly sat in the bedroom with the vet and Miranda, and I stood in our living room bawling like I haven't bawled since I was 5 years old. I mean, it was so horrendous. So I can't even imagine. So like it's actually kind of tweaked my empathy. I don't know about you, David, but it actually I think.
Oh no! Remember, amplifies. I had to put down a cat with cancer that was only 6 years old.
In the middle. Oh my God!
And it was fucking horrible. I mean, really, like of the terrible things that have happened to me in life, losing my mom is number one, and mm-hmm. I think that particular cat death is number two.
It's because you think
it was
about
terrible.
Yeah, because you think about the fact that they don't understand necessarily.
Okay,
what's
we gotta
going
stop.
On.
I'm gonna, okay. unless you want me to be like a fucking right. weeping wreck for
all
the
right,
rest
yes.
of the show.
And you know what? I think you speak for like 99% of people listening to the podcast right now. So yes, but we
folks,
send,
we love you. We love you, critters.
Right,
we love
right.
Every, you know, and hold them tight because it's not forever, and it's one of the cruelest pranks of our higher power is that they give us these wonderful friends that only live a third as long as we do.
That's the mind screw of it all. Yeah. So big hugs and sympathy
to Jody and Lonnie.
Jody and Lonnie, as they say goodbye to their cat today. So send them some love on social media if you get a chance. I'm sure they'll appreciate that. All right. So meantime, let's move from that to the extinction of humanity. That we're being chipper here at the top of the show today.
Mm-hmm.
But this is what we're experiencing right now is on the East Coast. Because of the Canadian wildfires, is giving us a huge dose of the climate crisis. I mean, that's really what this is all about. Because, one, it's a considerable possibility that those things are connected, that the climate crisis is exacerbating this.
Yeah.
But then also there's the other thing that it's kind of a preview of what the climate crisis will absolutely do. So if it's not a direct correlation between those two things now, well, it's going to be. It could be tomorrow. It could be the next day.
It's a sneak peek of our desperate mask-wearing, oxygen bottle-carrying future, folks.
Yep, yep. I mean, the skies that we're seeing here on the East Coast, and we're down in Washington, D.C., right? So we're well south of New York City. And outside...
What, you got a tapeworm, buddy? What's this wee shit?
Yeah, I mean by me and Kimberly. But what we're seeing outside through the window looks a lot like what we saw when we were 2 miles away or less than a mile away from the wildfires in Santa Rosa back
when paradise was burning.
Yeah, in 2017. God, that was miserable.
It was awful.
Yeah, and so even inside...
Why did it feel like that happened during the pandemic to me now?
I don't know.
I remember like talking to you on the phone when you were in your car about to start the show and the firefighters came up and knocked on the window. Like, buddy, you okay? And you're like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just trying to record. Like, you can't do that here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same kind of feeling. It's the same kind of feeling of instability and fear. Plus, there's also this idea that...
It's the end of the world as we know it.
Precisely. Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons we moved back to the East Coast, apart from being closer to our families, is the fact that, oh my God, those Santa Rosa wildfires. And having been through two house fires myself, there's no predicting it. There's no stopping it. Once it happens, it just happens. It's so incredibly random. And I couldn't live with that, and neither could Kimberly. And so we're sitting there in the middle of the Santa Rosa fires going, oh, yeah, I feel vindicated that we're moving out of here. But now here we are on the East Coast with the possibility that, well, if it can happen in Quebec, if it can happen in Canada, on the eastern portion of Canada, my God, it could happen right here. And that's throwing me way, way off. Because, I mean, we live in a very, and it's very much like this.
I'm not sure that, I think the part of the country that you're in is, it's literally like, at this juncture, I mean, too green to burn.
Maybe, but isn't Canada, isn't this
part of Canada? It would take years and years of drought. Well, I think that's what's happened is that they've been really far behind on their rainfall.
Oh, that's true.
And that's why that's why I think these forests are burning, which is a direct, you know, attributable to climate change.
Right, but right. Well, as things worsen, it would take, suddenly.
If years and years and years of no rain in Virginia and Southern Maryland went by and everything got really dry, you'd be in danger of wildfires like California. But California is a desert.
Yeah, well, and if that happens here, the foliage is so lush that if wildfires ended up happening here, oh my God, there would be a lot to burn. And so that just terrifies me. I mean, this is one of those triggers for me because, as I said, I mean, the first fire I lived through, I was too young to be aware of what was going on. I was less than a year old. The second one, I was 9 years old, and I remember it specifically down to the second. And so it's like a lingering trauma. So the notion of, well, it doesn't matter how well our apartment is wired or how safe we are with our stove and our appliances and whatnot. The fact is that with wildfires, irrespective of all of that, it can still devastate you. And that's what, I mean, that was a real wake-up call because I loved living in California. I even loved living in boring Santa Rosa. I loved the countryside. I loved the fact that I was in such a progressive state. But it came down to those wildfires saying, you know what, this is not fun. This is not a stable place to live. There are
all
kinds of
that's my thing with California. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a progressive, utopia in some ways. And yet, it's a fucking will of God theme park. It's like earthquakes, mudslides, fires, droughts, medflies. Constantly like, it's like it's always a beautiful day in California until the day you die from the weather. You know, like.
And it's kind of been like that for a while. I remember Johnny Carson on the old Tonight Show joking about how, on the upside, the mudslides will put out the wildfires. So that's it. But yeah, that's the thing that drove me away from California. And I would love to move to Southern California. Kimberly and I talk about that all the time. We would love to live in the Los Angeles area because we have so many friends there. But the thing that drives us away is every time there's wildfire season and we see the devastation, which, I mean, Kimberly lived through many wildfires.
And the earthquake is coming. The big one is coming. And it would happen 2 weeks after I moved there, like right when I got everything into the cabinets and out of the boxes, big one will happen.
Well, if not you.
Keeping it from happening is the fact that I'm not there.
Right.
You're welcome, California. Your continued existence hangs on my choices. So.
Right. And if it wasn't you, it would be me, because that's just my luck. I mean, I don't know if you know this about me, but every property, every house I have ever owned, including one commercially purchased property that I bought for my animation studio, every single house that I've owned has had a basement flood. Every single time. It was uncanny. It's like, okay, well, we're in a new place.
You keep getting houses with basements then? That's my question.
Well, that's East Coast.
Basements.
That's right. Well, then it would be the main floor. It's like talking about how, the indictments are going to be handed down right after the show. Well, maybe start the show 2 hours later. No. You can't cheat the universe. You can't say to the universe, ha ha, I messed around with the timing, or ha ha, I don't have a basement. Well, the first floor is going to flood then. Or the top floor is going to flood then. See, that's what happens. And I know I shouldn't think that way. I shouldn't be so negative. I should positively project.
It just reminds me of this friend of mine who grew up in the UK and had a debilitating phobia as a child of Daleks. Remember the Daleks from Doctor Who? Those things. She's terrified of them. And her mom was like, okay, we'll just put your room on the second floor. Because, stairs, Daleks, doesn't work. So, yeah.
Well, the other thing that orbits through my head when things like this go down with these wildfires and so on is how the Republicans react to them. And basically the Republican position on the climate crisis writ large.
But it's their position on all of reality.
Well, sure. But it's
just to stick their fingers in their ears and go, nuh-uh.
Yeah.
What about? And it's just like, it blows me away sometimes how they can be completely wrong about every fucking thing.
And deliberately so. And then, see, that leads me to believe that we can figure out a way to rabbit season, duck season, a few of them, into recognizing the climate crisis and the impending disaster that we're facing and the fact that we have to do things to mitigate that as much as possible starting yesterday. They're all about doing the opposite of whatever we're doing. So there's got to be a way to dupe them into,
drinking bleach. Remember back in the Obama administration, I was like, man, I wish Michelle Obama would come out against drinking bleach so that these fucking Republicans would just kill themselves. And then fuck me if they didn't fucking end up drinking bleach.
That's right.
That's the thing that just blows me away is that that was a joke, folks.
Yeah.
I didn't mean it.
I mean,
I think I've told you before that I have a huge crush right now on Danielle Moody, the commentator from The New Abnormal at the Daily Beast and her own podcast. This morning, she was asking a transgender legislator from Minnesota what she would say to the young queer kids.
Yeah.
If she had she was, and I immediately was like, the thing I wanted to say is own your power, because this is how powerful you are. There are only 100 estimated trans kid athletes in this whole country, and the entire Republican Party is fucking like melting through their dress shield because they are so terrified of you. Like, you are the new boogeyman, but that gives you all kinds of like power.
Yeah.
They are doing what they're doing because they are so scared of you.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking get out there and get in their faces.
Yeah.
I mean, as my, protect your own safety first, obviously. Your physical safety is paramount as a young queer person, but like, don't be afraid, because their whole, all these grown-ups are fucking screaming like eek a mouse and like jumping up on the table and being completely terrified, or at least pantomiming it to raise money, because you are so powerful and what you are doing is changing the world.
Yeah, that's so well said. And I like what you mentioned there a second ago about the cash grab, because I think largely that's what it's all about. It's about Michael Knowles and Matt Walsh and Ben Shapiro going, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Which controversy will make us dough?
Okay, now, see, that's
and
why
that
you're
was
on
the last
show.
One. You know, like, they were like, the environment not working. Nobody reads environmentalism stories. Gamergate, old. Yeah. Nobody read those anyway. Ah, trans kids.
Yeah.
And to me, remember, everyone was hoarding toilet paper, and I was like, Jesus Christ, Americans. You're like, oh my God, something terrible has happened. I have to protect my asshole. You know?
That's like, the first thing we go to, right?
Mm-hmm. They're selling American men their terror of emasculation back to them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Ben Shapiro was going after Across the Spider-Verse on his show the other day, like freaking out that one of the characters had a pro-trans sign in their bedroom above their door. But going back to the wildfires and the Republican complicity.
I'm trying to jump to the end of the show. I'm like, is it Act 3 yet? Can I fire this gun that was over the mantle?
There's this guy on with Laura Ingraham last night on Fox News Channel, and they were just talking about how, oh, you know what, the smoke and the particulates, don't believe any of the experts, what they're saying about lung damage and things like that. Just go out and do whatever you're going to do. It's not a problem. They're just lying to you because we're back to the masks again. And
ignore your own burning, stinging. Who are you going to believe?
Yeah, right.
Laura Ingraham's buddy here or your own weeping, stinging eyes.
That's right. Here's some guy with Laura Ingraham last night.
Look, the air is ugly. It's unpleasant to breathe. And for a lot of people, they get anxiety over it. But the reality is there's no health risk. Okay, there's EPA research.
What?
They've done lots of clinical research on asthmatics, on elderly asthmatics, on children, on elderly with heart disease. Not a cough or a wheeze from any of them. We have this kind of air in India and China.
Oh, that is just absolute bullshit right there. 100%.
Absolute
bullshit.
Lies. Yeah. Call any emergency room in the New York City area right now
yeah.
and ask them what's going on, and it will be full of people with asthma, COPD, pneumonia, elderly people, children. For fuck's sake. They just... This is, again, we're back to the, like, 180-degree, like, you know, let me store my ice cubes in this red-hot oven, like, mentality. Like, I just, what is your fucking problem? Why can't you do anything right?
What I want to know is why they're deliberately endangering their own audience. Because it's not liberals, it's not normals watching Laura Ingraham and going, yeah, all that smoke in the air that's turning this into a post-apocalyptic wasteland where we're expecting a guy with a flame-throwing guitar to whiz on by any second now. It's just met, and it's their own people. They're going to suffer from this. It's not the rest of us, I assure you. We're going to be careful, and you know what? It will affect all of
us. Even the characters of Mad Max would look at New York right now and be like, yeah, that's bad air,
that's
man.
Bad
like,
that's right. I mean, I will say it is going to affect all of us if it gets bad enough, and it will get bad enough if we continue to do nothing because of these crackpots. All right, let's continue with this absolute disinformation here.
All the time, no public health emergency.
Speaking of, do you notice like in all the coverage of, you know, Bill Ware, the tailpipes, all this stuff, they never ever mention the fact at the top that China is the number one polluter in the world.
Who's not mentioning that? I think everyone's mentioning it. Everyone knows that.
Everyone in Gen Z knows that. But, like, what does that have to do with Canadian wildfires? It's the thing, like, where, I mean, it's like, China is the number one polluter in the world. Meanwhile, Canada is burnt. Like, it's just, God. I don't know. Every time I hear her talk, it's just like, you know.
This is clicks and fart noises. Is that all you
Just the horse sounds, you know.
Like, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I remember the Beijing Olympics. And watching the outdoor competition.
Watching the athletes vomit and pass out.
Exactly. Yeah. It looked like it does here on the East Coast right now. And everyone was talking about that. I don't know anyone who was going around saying, oh, China, it's no problem over there. But you know the difference between China and what we're doing? China is actually pretty advanced when it comes to mitigating all that stuff. They're actually working on it. It's not like they're going around saying, you know what, let's keep doing what we were doing 100 years ago.
Well, they understand that we have to still be here in 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, they're acutely aware of the science, right? I mean, and that's
This actually was like the moment that I realized that the right was completely morally bankrupt and just contrarian was in like 2004 or 5 probably, when I was reading about like they were trashing the environmentalist movement, which now I understand was because they are like corporate shills and the big companies want them to trash the environmental movement and trash attempts to clean up the environment, because that means corporations will make less money, so or more money if they, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was, but when I was just like, but I just couldn't believe it when a Republican, these people were just like so viciously anti-environmentalist. I'm like, but don't you under? We all have to live here. Hello, like this is not. This is a closed system. We're all in here together. We don't get your gated community will not put oxygen back in the air.
Yeah.
Or birds back into the trees after they all die. Just
there is no planet B. There is no other place that we can go. There is no point of refuge.
Because to me, it seemed like environmentalism, before they began their hunt, their whole like Rush Limbaugh liberals must die, we hate everything, nihilist politics, environmentalism was a totally like not super controversial thing.
Yeah.
Like Nixon started the EPA. Everybody was like, yeah, we got to clean up because mm-hmm. we all have to live here.
That's right. And by the way, while you were talking, David, I searched on Google News for China air pollution. 23,400 results in just the news vertical itself.
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, people are talking about it, Laura, you nincompoop.
In the winter, they never turn on their scrubbers for the air pollution because they don't care. Weir has no idea what he's talking about. This doesn't kill anybody. This doesn't make anybody cough. This is not a health event. This has got nothing to do with climate. First off, this is wildfire smoke. This is natural. This is not because
of climate. Oh, it's natural, right?
Like, you're going to stand over a campfire and, I mean, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Why don't you just...
It's like, this whole thing, it's like, it's not making anybody cough. If I lived in New York City right now and was coughing my fucking lungs out, I would be livid. But, of course, nobody in New York City actually watches Fox News. This is for the people in Kansas.
Right. Well, this is why...
We breathe smoke all the time, you know?
It's not a natural condition for human beings to live in this much smoke because we have lung tissue that's delicate and could become injured because of it. Not to mention all the crap that gets added to the smoke, the particulates and so on, that could be from anything. I mean, in
houses, agricultural facilities, yeah. Anything that's in the way of the. Why are you trying to kill your viewers? Why are you trying to convince them that, like, but they were doing the same thing with COVID, and I didn't get it then. I still don't quite, like, do you not understand cause and effect?
Yeah.
That,
they clearly don't. No, they don't. So let's continue here.
On the change, it's not
amazing.
Because of a fossil fuel, you know, internal combustion engines. He just has no idea what he's talking about.
All day, by the way, it seemed like the media figures that we've become accustomed to seeing on television during these crises, they seemed like they were back in their element in kind of almost enjoying the moment of wearing masks again, didn't they? They seemed to have a little pep in their step with those masks.
She really is the poster child for abortion. Like, if her mother had just kept her appointment with Planned Parenthood,
none
of this would have happened. God damn it.
Yeah.
We know from their like back channel shit that we saw in the Dominion case that they don't actually believe this shit.
I assure you, I'm sitting here and there's smoke outside my window and we are hundreds of miles away from the actual fires. I'm not loving life right now. This is not fun for anyone. The idea of going outside and having to wear a fucking mask again so I don't get lung cancer, that's not fun. No one's having a good time.
Were you old enough to remember Mount St. Helens when the ash fell?
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah, I remember all those
And how scary it was
and
the dimness at midday was like an eclipse or something. And that's what I imagine you guys are going through up there. It's not really happening here. It may yet reach us.
Yeah.
I need to look at the weather website and see what the deal is. But right now, it's a bright, clear, too hot summer day.
What's terrifying truly about it is that, as I said, the Santa Rosa wildfires were less than a mile from our house. And these wildfires are hundreds of miles, yet the conditions are about the same. What does that say about the Canadian wildfires? That they're far more massive than literally the worst wildfires that had ever occurred up to that point in the state of California. And that's saying a lot. So, no. F you, Laura. We are not having a good old time. This is not a hootenanny with our masks and our coughing and people with asthma dropping to the ground because they can't breathe. Jesus.
Talk about the dangers of something called particulate matter from the smoke. Here's CNN earlier.
Consider wearing a mask, and that is because of the particulate matter in the air. This is among the tiniest, most dangerous kind of pollutants, and it's the kind of thing found in this wildfire smoke. These particles are so small they can get into the lungs when you breathe them in, get into the bloodstream, and cause all kinds of health issues.
Steve, we're back at the masks. Ramin Asqui is watching from heaven, by the way. Ramin, I know you are. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is
that someone who died of COVID? Please tell me that's someone who died of COVID.
You know, I'm so done with this tape, by the way. Yeah, because the next thing you know, they're going to be saying, hey, let's all go vacation. And Republicans, we're going to do a celebrity vacation. Where? In Chernobyl. Fun.
Fun.
Yes, it's exciting, scenic and lovely Chernobyl. It's beautiful, especially in the wintertime.
It's just like if they were like seeing me and I had my glasses on in the daytime and then I had them on again at night, they'd be like, oh God, always he loves the glasses. It's like, no, I, you know, like.
Yeah, that's exactly the
thing.
Oh, there's
a chance to wear his glasses again. Yeah, and it's like. You know,
Who needs to see? I mean, my God. You just have fun putting on those glasses, don't you? That's fun for you. You're back to that. You have to wear those mandatory glasses, otherwise you bump into shit. That's funny.
Yeah, otherwise I fucking collide with it because I'm really blind. But it's like, you know, yes, sometimes there is shit in the air nowadays thanks to climate change. And honestly, I do believe that one of the causes of the COVID thing was climate change.
Yeah.
You know, and that we're like, yeah, animals are getting sick and we're pushing into areas where we don't belong and coming in contact with organisms and systems that we don't have haven't had any human contact. So it's like, ooh, no immunity.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, this guy, Laura Ingraham and this other, and her guest here, they could be up to their eyeballs in like plagues and fires and water shortages. They could be bleeding from their eyes because of some sort of hemorrhagic fever. And then there's mass death all around. And they'll still be glibly telling their Fox News audiences, hey, what's the matter? This is fine. No issues here.
I fucking know that she's remarkable. Covering up her face when she runs from the studio to
of
her
course.
Chauffeur, to
oh
her car
God.
That's been
yes.
running with filtered air going because, you know, I mean, that's the thing.
Remember the Fox News duplicity, right? This is Laura Ingraham saying one thing on her show and doing something completely different behind the scenes. It was just like with the vaccine mandates and the mask mandates and all the rest of it.
But like I said, this is for people in Kansas.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone who's actually in New York and D.C. and Boston and anywhere that's affected by this right now can feel it when they walk outside, can feel it when they inhale.
Mm-hmm.
And they know it's not good for them because it's burning plant matter, which is toxic.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I haven't gone outside yet. I haven't been outside since the Canadian wildfire smoke entered the D.C. area. But I can still feel it in my throat and in my lungs. I can still, I feel like I've got like a little bit of a tickle in there from the smoke. And again, we're
miles and miles. Lots of water.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
well,
like
that's
so much water certainly that you doing. Like slosh when you walk, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah. That helps clean out your lungs.
Okay. Sounds good. I will do that. Thank you for that advice. All right. Well, we're also going to talk about Trump on the verge of being federally indicted here in a second. And it's possible that Mark Meadows has flipped. Talk about fun. It's fun to imagine Donald Trump freaking his shit right now in Mar-a-Lago. The catch-up alert level is catastrophic right now.
Because really, Mark Meadows is practically Trump's tampon. I mean,
well, the thing with Mark Meadows is, I think he's smart enough suddenly to realize that, oh man, if I don't do this, Donald Trump's going to throw me under the bus. because Donald Trump does that to everybody. I think they're finally starting to learn that.
God, you know, maybe. But then they keep going back into his orbit is the thing.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it all depends on how much danger they're in, because I think they start to calculate, all right, the danger of being dragged by Donald Trump on Truth Central versus the danger of going to federal prison. Which one should we choose?
Right.
I would choose getting dragged by Donald Trump on Truth Central. That's the way I would go with that. And so I think Mark Meadows is leading the way. And maybe there are others we don't know about yet, but we do know at least about Mark Meadows. We'll talk about that in just a second. Plus, there was a huge Supreme Court decision today, and it involved Justice Jackson influencing the court. Couldn't believe this. John Roberts and Brett Kavanaugh siding with the liberals on this. This is an amazing thing, and it has to do with gerrymandering. We'll get into that here in a few minutes. Plus, oh my God, Elon Musk is casually chatting with raging anti-Semites on Twitter. So we'll talk about that here in just a bit. But first, if you're only listening to this part of the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're getting your podcasts, you're only hearing the first hour plus of the show. Well, lately we've been going much longer, maybe an hour, maybe hour 15, hour 20 minutes for the free show. But if you're still looking for more show, we got an extra 20 minutes happening on our Patreon page. Of course, I'm talking about the Shadow Docket podcast at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show or simply BobSeskaShow.com. Either address will get you there. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news. Way more obscenities on the Shadow Docket, that's for sure. And it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Docket drops every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows. It's only going to cost you $5 per month. That's it. You're going to be supporting this fully independent podcast. Plus, we're giving back with bonus content like the Shadow Docket on our Patreon page. Plus, oh, also, you can participate in the comments under each episode. The free show is there, too, so you can listen to that as well. Plus, you get access to the Patreon app and the community tab where you can post your own blog entries if you want to. It's an amazing platform, so don't miss out. That's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Bob Seska!
One of my favorite people on the planet. This is King Cyborg. Yeah, we're replaying this remaster of her song, Hypnotic, because it's great, and King Cyborg is awesome. And she...
Yes, she is.
Yeah, and she's from outer space. That's one of these... I mean, her aesthetic, her performances are amazing. She played at a Pride Month concert the other day, posted videos on her Instagram,
Her moves are amazing. It's like The Matrix.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I swear she did that ducking bullets bent over backwards thing. Like, amazing.
That's right,
amazing. Yeah. That costume was amazing, too. You guys, I was watching this on YouTube. I mean, on Apple Music yesterday. It's funny. Yeah.
You were engaging with King Cyborg.
Yeah, well, we haven't talked yet.
Engaging with her videos. Yeah.
Really want her to be on the song Zola.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
You were supposed to send me her email, and you never did.
So. Oh, I didn't? Oh, man, a bad host. Okay, I'll have to do that after the show. I'll send you her email address. Yeah, yeah. Because I'm sure she'd love to do something like that. I mean, she's so prolific and so creative and so interesting. That's what I like most about her. She's off the beaten path. Very unique. I don't know if that's a phrase you can use, very unique. Just like, you can't be more than just unique. But yeah, she kind of does it. King Cyborg breaks all the rules. I love it. All right. And also, I interviewed King Cyborg on the interview show a couple of months ago. So you want to go and listen to that, too. She's got an incredible story. And it's a perfect story to engage with during Pride Month, for sure. All right. So got a link in the description to support King Cyborg and the remastered version of Hypnotic here under this episode. Just go to bobsesca.com. This episode's dated 6/8/23. Click on that link, scroll on down, and you'll find the links for all the independent music here on the show, plus bobsesca.com/music to submit your work. Thank you for doing that. Okay, so where did we leave off here? So Trump could be indicted.
Wait, can we talk about Pat Robertson real quick?
Oh, yeah, we can. I was going to say that as sort of a fun way to end the show. Isn't that sick of me?
Yeah.
Are you agreeing that it's
sick of me? This year stands for Pat Robertson is dead, everybody.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
Wow. Did you read that somewhere? Did you just make that up?
A friend of mine said it to me.
Oh, okay. Well, your friend gets a round of applause. And I'm glad that you brought it to the show. Because that's funny. Pat Robertson is dead, everybody. That's what Pride Month stands for. Well, yes, this a-hole blamed hurricanes and 9/11. Among other things, on the gay community.
Gay people would like give you AIDS by scratching you with an infected secret handshake ring. I mean, the guy is fucking evil as shit. Like, shuffle off to your punishment, old man. Boy, I bet you're surprised.
Yeah.
Now that you thought you were going to that, they're like, I don't see you on the guest list. Hideous loser. Nope. Goodbye. And now demons will shit boiling tar into his open mouth forever. And sodomize him with red hot pokers. Queer demons.
Oh, my God.
Demons in pride gear will be torturing Pat Robertson for all eternity. Enjoy hell, you old hater. Fuck you. Good riddance.
Yeah, Rip Taylor will be down there throwing like a bucket full of confetti, but instead of confetti, it'll be broken glass.
Live right scorpions,
face. Yeah. Right in his face. You know, I thought Pat Robertson was 93 years old 20 years ago. It's like the guy made some pact.
He traded power for his essential life force and has become an increasingly rickety contraption of dried old parchment and bones and hate. It has rattled through its final years, continuing to spread disinformation while it soils itself on the air.
Well, in all seriousness, the fact that Pat Robertson gets to live to 93 years old and we lost Chez when he was barely 50 means there is no justice in the universe. That's the real cynical analysis of all of this, but it's kind of true. You kind of go, God, how did this guy, I guess, yeah, like you were just saying, David, he was like bound together with hate that kept everything functioning up to his 93rd year. Even though he kind of just looked like he was melting, and this goes back 20 years. It's like
there's a Spanish saying that malas herbas nunca muerta, which means bad weeds never die. Mean, nasty old people live forever, and the kindest, sweetest people die young. It's just one of the fucking injustices of the universe.
Yeah, well, the thing is, much like Laura Ingraham and her guest taking advantage of the nincompoopery of their audience, Pat Robertson used to do the same thing. The same with Donald Trump. They all take advantage of their own fanboys.
That's the like the second demon that's shitting boiling tar into his open mouth forever is because of all the fucking money he took from people who were poor and scared.
Yeah.
And we're like, fuck, there's Satanists out there trying to kill us, so we have to send Pat Robertson our pension check. And it's like, no, fuck you, old man. You lived a life of opulence and luxury.
Yep.
By bilking people out of their hard-earned pennies.
Yeah. This is a business model. This is a career path. It has nothing to do with being a public servant for God. It's not about that. It's about
no,
there's...
No, if you were into that, you would run from TV cameras and run to hospitals to help people, to feed people, to house people, right, to clothe people, to welcome people to our country who are fleeing oppressive regimes and, you know, violent cartels. You would not be sitting there on stage telling people that 9/11 was caused by lesbians and witchcraft.
Yeah.
Although that was Jerry Falwell, not Pat Robertson.
Yeah, but it's like what George Carlin used to say. How, you know, God is this invisible man who lives in the clouds and he's really bad with money. So we know we constantly have to raise money for God because he just can't hold on to a buck. He's constant. God.
Well, with Jesus, all the money just goes right through his hands.
Oh, oh, my God. Ah. Well, it's like that.
I've been waiting for that moment for years. Thank you.
I'm so glad I could provide you with that fun. But yeah, it's like that Monopoly man where you go bankrupt and you see the card and he's got his pockets, you know, inside out.
Yep.
And he's standing there going, huh? And that's God. God just can't hold on to a dollar. So, and so that's where Pat Robertson comes in.
Yeah. To Old Testament God is off his meds. You know,
right,
like
yeah,
just crazy and just like, oh, I'm going to smite this whole city because, you know, like Abraham,
yeah,
kill your son. No, right, not that one. Your favorite one. And Abraham's like, what? God, why? He's my favorite.
Yeah.
And God is like, you would do it if you loved me. You know, I just, yeah, Old Testament God was manipulative and needy and erratic and violent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Pat Robertson's entire mission, and this goes for all of the spectrum of televangelists and faith healers, their mission was to divorce you from your life savings. And then to spend that money on private jets and Rolex watches and gigantic McMansions and all the rest.
Didn't
of
he them. Also have an emerald mine in South Africa, or was it diamonds?
Oh, God, I'm sure. I'm sure on there were all kinds of things happening that the Rubes had no idea were going on. Or maybe they did and they deluded themselves into thinking, oh, well, this old
it's
man
for the
looks
greater
on the
glory
level.
Of God.
It's for the greater glory of God. That's exactly right. I think that's a thing. I think... And it's something that we were actually talking about with Terry Metalis on the Star Trek show, on Trek Politics with me and Mary Trump. We interviewed Terry Metalis on Monday. The interview will go live next week at some point. But we were talking about conservatives who love Star Trek. And I was saying that while Star Trek is meant to be inclusive, and it's fine if conservatives love to watch Star Trek and they're fans of it, but I think they're missing the values. I think they're missing the allegory. And I think it might partly be because they just don't see it, or they deliberately delude themselves into not recognizing the allegories of the show and the fact that those allegories always lead you to some form of progressivism.
But this is what I think is wrong, must be wrong with their heads, with the concern that they can never think abstractly, that everything is absolutely literal and absolutely in the concrete.
Yeah.
Because it seems like they never turn around and say, what if the people storming the Capitol had been from Black Lives Matter?
Right. Yeah, that's
or,
a great point.
You know, you know, what if everybody else was... What if black people were the majority and I was the minority and black people came storming into my bedroom and shot me in my bed?
Yeah.
And I never broke a law in my life and was actually an EMT like Breonna Taylor. Like, it just it never occurs to them. And I guess they just never look at the situation. They think that the Star Trek story is just that story and it's not applicable to life, that you wouldn't transfer lessons from TV to the world. Why would you do that? Like, that is the only way I can figure they get through life.
Right, right. But I think there's a hearty level of delusion there, too, insofar as I brought up this example when we were talking with Terry the other day. And I said, it's kind of like my grandmother watching Liberace on TV and going, when is he going to take a wife? And you know what? Not realizing and not seeing what's right there. But I mean, this is all to say that I think a lot of the people who gave money to Pat Robertson don't see the fact that it's not helping people, that it's merely enriching Pat Robertson and all of the various con artists and flim-flammers and all the rest of it. Using God and the Bible as a marketing tool. It's an incredible thing. And you know what? The legacy of Pat Robertson and the others like him, Jim Baker and Oral Roberts and all the rest of them, the lasting legacy of those guys is they provided for the Republican Party a means of expanding their base by using the same kind of tactics developed by televangelists and faith healers. And that's what we see on the Republican side constantly. That is the selling point for all of this disinformation and propaganda. It's all based around the same idea. We're going to tell you what to be afraid of and then give us money to mitigate your own fear. And it's happened sort of in a quiet way. It kind of slowly evolved over the years, didn't it?
Well, you know, remember the Republicans, they did that. I mean, the Reagan era was when the Republican Party and the crazy snake-handling evangelical right started to get into bed together.
Yeah.
And everyone thought the Republicans were using the evangelicals, but they were also copying them.
Right.
Like, and taking their shtick and moving it to their own mailing lists and their own donor base.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you watch Mike Pence, or if you watch in particular Glenn Beck, compare a video of Glenn Beck, whether it's from his old Fox News show or his current podcast or whatever, and compare that to one of the televangelists, how they communicate, how they
I remember Jimmy Swaggart used to cry.
Oh God, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they caught him in an airport highway hotel room with a two-bit hooker. It's like,
yeah.
And then he cried even harder. I've sinned.
It's all about psychological manipulation of people who don't know any better.
It's a knock-on effect.
Yeah.
You know, those people, when their grandkid comes out or their you know, if they end up with someone LGBTQ or even black, because the evangelical thing, it's very racist as well. It's got the same kind of thing as Fox News, where they're like, what? Me? Yeah. Racist?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about the danger in the inner cities, which is all coded language, you know, under the Atwater rule.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you can't actually say the N-word, so you say a thug. Or you say woke.
Okay, well, moving on here. This big headline from The Independent got everyone talking about Donald Trump and impending indictments, which if it's going to happen, it's going to happen 30 seconds after we finish today's show.
Did you see the reporters hounding Jack Smith the other morning and when he was walking up the boulevard?
Yeah, I did.
I at least would crack a smile or something. I don't know. I guess it's not really a smiley day for you when you're trying to prosecute a former president for massive violations of national security. But I was just like, man, he's hard. That is a hard motherfucker. I'm a little scared of Jack Smith. Like, he strikes me as the kind of guy that would, like, choke you while you're having sex and you would like it. You know, like...
You have no specific information that he does anything like that. You're just kind of speculating, right?
That's just my own, yeah.
Okay. Well, the deal.
He's just scary. I mean, I watched that footage, and the first thing I thought was, hey, he's a handsome guy. And then, God, he's fucking scary. Like, I mean, just icy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Well, you need someone like that.
I'm really glad he's not coming after me for anything.
Right, right. Yeah, you need someone like Jack Smith to go after, for the first time, an ex-president who has committed myriad crimes, especially violations of the Espionage Act, obstruction of justice. The Independent is reporting that...
I love that the attorneys went to their meeting at the Justice Department after they sent that letter to Merrick Garland saying, Jack Smith beat me.
Oh, yeah.
And so Merrick Garland was like, we'll set up a meeting. And they go to the meeting and neither Merrick Garland nor Lisa Monaco is there, but Jack Smith is there, like, which one of you bitches has a problem with me? You know, like...
right.
Like, you know, they walked into that room and their hearts just like sank. They're like, oh shit, there he is.
So,
the scariest person in our world right now. Yeah.
At least according to Trent Crim at The Independent. No, I'm not sure if it's Trent. It's obviously not Trent Crim.
But Trent Crim, Independent. Yeah. Okay.
Well, The Independent is reporting that the indictments could be handed down as soon as today. So, I think we all need to calibrate our expectations as far as that goes. It could be tomorrow. It could be next week. It could be a few weeks from now. But when it happens, and we'll all be thrilled by it, as we should be. So, the Independent has learned that prosecutors are ready to ask grand jurors to approve an indictment against Trump for violating a portion of the U.S. criminal code known as Section 793, which prohibits gathering...
Is that the one with the swimming pool in it?
No, I don't think, but I'm sure the obstruction of justice charges will include the fact that they flooded that room that had the servers in it.
For fuck's sake. Like, I heard someone describe it as Keystone Cops, and I was like, no, this is the Three Stooges plumbing episode.
Exactly right. That's exactly what it is. And it's always
been
that way.
I don't even like the Three Stooges. So
that's the best example. And you could even use that to talk about Watergate and the fact that all those guys were idiots and things got out of hand. It's the same kind of thing. These are the dumbest crooks in the history of dumb crooks. It really is like Curly in that cage of pipes with water shooting out everywhere. And he's doing his Curly thing and freaking out.
I don't know what it is. It's almost like Rush in that, like, gay guys and straight girls are just like not into the Three Stooges. It's just like, it's annoying. It's noisy. It's dumb. Yeah.
Anyway. Well, it's
as you were.
But so we're talking about violating U.S. Criminal Code Section 793, which prohibits gathering, transmitting, or losing any information respecting the national defense. And the reason they're going with Section 793 is because Trump is claiming that he used his authority as president to declassify these documents. And what 793 does is it sidesteps that entire defense. Because what they're claiming is he violated this other statute that doesn't require classification or not classification. He showed these national defense documents around and kept them, this section of U.S. criminal
wave
law.
Wave them in the air when talking to Mark Meadows,
right,
biographer,
yeah,
and allude darkly to their contents, which you are completely misrepresenting.
Mm-hmm. Well, this section states that anyone who lawfully having possession of, access to, control over, or being entrusted with any document relating to the national defense and willfully communicates, delivers, transmits, or causes to be communicated, delivered or transmitted, or attempted to communicate, deliver, transmit, or cause to be communicated. This is an actual thing. I'm reading this pretty closely. Delivered or transmitted the same to any person not entitled to receive it, or willfully retains the same and fails to deliver it on demand to the officer or employee of the United States entitled to receive it, can be punished by as much as 10 years in prison. So what they're saying is that Trump communicated, delivered, transmitted these documents. And it doesn't matter whether he declassified them or not. I'm sure they will make the case that you can't declassify documents just by thinking about them. And you can't declassify documents without going through the process of declassification. I'm sure they'll make that case separately. But here, what they're saying is what they're going to charge him with is the fact that he did something else with these things that it also violates the law. Plus, you have myriad examples of obstruction of justice on top of all of that. The Independent also wrote here that it is understood that prosecutors intend to ask grand jurors to vote on the indictment today, Thursday, but that vote could be delayed by as much as a week until the next meeting of the grand jury to allow for a complete presentation of the evidence or to allow investigators to gather more evidence for presentation if necessary. So meantime, there's a grand jury in Florida that's also been hearing evidence in the documents investigation. We didn't know about this until now. That grand jury was impaneled in part to overcome legal issues posed by the fact that some of the crimes allegedly committed by Mr. Trump took place in that jurisdiction, not in Washington. Under federal law, prosecutors must bring charges against federal defendants in the jurisdiction where the crimes took place. Now, that means Donald Trump's still going to be charged in Washington, D.C. for obstruction of justice and 793. But these other characters, I imagine people like Walt Nauta and other staffers at Mar-a-Lago are going to be looped in with this federal grand jury. Another source familiar with the matter has said that Mr. Trump's team was recently informed that he is a target of the Justice Department investigation, which began in early 2022, after National Archives and Records Administration officials discovered more than 100 documents bearing classification markings in a set of 15 boxes in Mar-a-Lago, right? So the fact that he's been informed now that he's the target of an investigation, means that it's likely he's going to be indicted. Now, they say here that there's no indication as to when he was informed. But I love this whining and screeching he's doing on Truth Central, where he's saying that, oh my God, they launched this investigation just because I'm running for president. Well, the investigation was launched in early 2022.
Mm-hmm. Before you announced, dickhead.
Yeah, before he announced his candidacy, which was back in what, October of 2022?
Yeah, as quickly as he could get it out there and running, because he really wanted to be able to say, they're trying to stop me from being president again.
So here's the thing with all of those screechy truths that you're reading on Twitter right now. Everyone's
I'm not reading.
Well, I know you've abandoned Twitter, but those of us who are on Twitter are seeing those coming down on a regular basis now, people sharing them and criticizing them and parsing them. What those troths are fundraising troths. They're entirely about Donald Trump raising money from his sucker fanboys to continue to feed his legal defense fund to enrich himself. This is all about, going back to this term quite a bit these days, but it's all about, say it with me, the cynical cash grab. He's making sure that, well, if I'm going to be indicted, and it looks likely, at least I'll raise some money off of it. It's like his silver lining. It's part of the transaction. I'm getting indicted, so I deserve to make money off of it. So that's what I'm going to do. So that's why he's doing this. He's stirring up the emotions of his ridiculous red hat fanboys. So they'll just
it's
hand
so
over
It's so much
their
like an addict or an alcoholic's rationalization.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're being mad and mean at me. Like, I got drunk. You're being mean to me. So now I'm going to drink more. Mm-hmm. So I don't, because you're hurting my, you know, like. Ugh.
Yeah. And I don't know how damaged Trump is feeling right now. I have no evidence that he's stressing out. I just like to think that he is. Especially when he hears that it's possible Mark Meadows has flipped and is cooperating with Jack Smith.
I think that the fact that all those crazy like troth rants are in all caps should demonstrate to you that he's like a pressure cooker right now. He's really feeling it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's ratcheted up, and he is getting it's. The whole fact that they went like, you know, hit the Justice Department to be like, please stop, please make this stop, 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 please make it stop, and they were like, nope.
Well, Mary Trump says that Donald Trump is entirely capable of experiencing intense fear. Just because he's a sociopath doesn't mean he can't experience fear. And
I know, it's like they feel all the reptile emotions.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's like that, and it makes the fear makes them angry because they perceive everything as a threat to their existence. Mm-hmm. So he is lashing out.
Yeah, yeah. And so his consolation for that is, well, if I'm going to be afraid and I'm going to be indicted again, gimme. Gimme your money. I'll take that. Yoink. And bye-bye goes your life savings if you're a red hat. But you know what? You deserve it. If you give Donald Trump your life savings, you deserve the financial crisis, your household financial crisis that you're going to have to endure. Because you know why? Because it's very easy to see that this guy is
because you're a fucking racist.
Yeah, it's like,
you're giving all your money to Donald Trump at this point, and you've seen all the evidence on the table, and you don't understand that he's a racist and that you too are a racist, then fine, send him your money. You deserve it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, once again, I keep saying this, but it's true. It's not like he suddenly appeared in 2015 fresh off the bus, you know, with a tube of chapstick and a dance belt. No, he didn't.
What the fuck? That was the gayest thing you've ever said.
It's because I was quoting Corky St. Clair in Waiting for Guffman.
Right. Oh, my God. A dance belt.
So funny.
Wow.
I mean, this is a bit
Just a little disoriented. Just give me a second here.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a performance. I mean, this is Donald Trump is pretty performative, and so there's a lot of that, but he does it with an intent. And inside, look, I don't care what he's really thinking or feeling. What I enjoy most is imagining that he's stressed out and that he's losing sleep and that it's perpetual diarrhea and all the rest of it.
Oh, it's total tantrum time.
Yeah.
I'm sure constantly. He's yelling because this has got to be somebody else. So whose fault is this?
Yeah.
Who can I punish today for my feelings?
And the stress hormones just as like broken glass in his veins. It just makes me happy. I'm sorry. Is that cruel? I don't think so.
No, and I've also been noticing that a lot of the photos that they've been using, like the poll photos for different articles and stuff, are all the most unflattering, toad-like, dangling scrotum-chinned photos that they seem to be able to find. It's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see.
He's so hideous. The hair, I just, oh, God, why would he die?
There are Republicans getting into the presidential race right now who we never predicted would. And you know why? Because they smell blood in the water. They want to get in on this. They want to get in line because it's possible this guy has to drop out. Which, you know what? I got to hand it to Hal Sparks, man. Hal Sparks has been calling that eventuality for a long, long time. So hats off to him. Okay, we got to talk about this Supreme Court decision and some Elon Musk news. Oh, you know what?
What's that smell? It's Elon Musk.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a huge thing as far as its scope, but it's pretty goddamn awful what he was doing on Twitter the other day. We'll talk about that. Plus, violence broke out at that school board meeting about Pride Month. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, when I said that there was going to be violence surrounding Pride Month a couple of weeks ago, I was hoping that I was desperately wrong. And that's the absolute truth. Unfortunately,
I meant to report back to you that our Athens, Georgia Pride March was not a protester in sight.
Oh, great. That's great to know.
Big and boisterous and loud and funny and sweet and loving. And I cried and it was great.
That's wonderful to hear. I'm so glad to hear that because, I mean, that's, I'm nervous. And that's just my nature to think about these things and to wonder because I have no compunction about the Republicans having any kind of restraint when it comes to this stuff, especially their radical militias. I can't rely on any notion that they would restrain themselves given the opportunity. So that's where I'm coming from. And I probably should think more positively about things, but what can I say? All right, we're going to talk about all of this after these words.
Incoming transmission.
Politics. Not good at politics. Surely there are others who are better suited.
Trek Politics with Mary L. Trump and Bob Seska.
Previously.
I love getting to the end of a Star Trek episode. Doesn't matter which series. The ones that make you feel really good with the conclusion, the denouement comes along and suddenly we're like, oh my God, I want to rewind and pump that into my veins one more time.
We should start a show that's just about this kind of stuff.
If you're going to do a show about Star Trek, Mary, I'm so there. I'll change my schedule if I need to.
Let's talk offline, as the cool kids say.
Yeah, 100%. Well, you got it. I think we've got something going here.
And it's an excuse to watch more Star Trek. Come on. Win-win.
Exactly. It's Trek Politics with Mary L. Trump and me, Bob Seska. Discussions about the socio-political and cultural themes and allegories from the Star Trek universe, along with interviews with Star Trek actors, crew, and famous fans, coming June 2023 to your favorite podcast player. And don't forget to subscribe for free and tell your friends at Trek Politics on Twitter, at Trek Politics on Instagram.
Bob Seska plays more music.
Yeah, he doesn't just record song parodies. This is the great Nick Lutzko and his brand new single, Obituary. Giving this another play because it's awesome and I love Nick Lutzko. One of the funniest guys on the socials. And his music is incredible. I mean, seriously. He's got an album out called Swords. And it's amazing. Unusual.
He's got such a beautiful voice.
Yeah, he does. He really, really does. I mean, Kimberly's been singing the Spirit Halloween song by memory for months now. And I think a friend of hers sent Kimberly a video of their kid also singing the Spirit Halloween song. It's like Kimberly's part of the Nick Lutzko fan club at this point. And
I'm going to say, I love the Trek politics promo so much.
Oh, thank you.
Each time you start talking in the middle of it, though, I'm like, shh, Bob, I'm listening to the promo. You know?
Yeah.
But then, you know, Mary's like, we should do a show. And it's like, you just get so excited and your voice shoots up like half an octave and you're like, oh my God, Mary, you want to do that? I would totally do that. Can we do that? Oh my God, can I wash your car? Can I get you a snack or something? Like a bowl of Skittles or like, buff your nails or, yeah, oh my God, yeah. Like, it's okay, Bob.
Well, I think that's the natural reaction when Mary Trump asks you if you want to do a podcast with her. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, all the versions of yes, definitely. Yeah, and I love my usage of the word denouement in there. Mm-hmm. Every time I hear that, I'm like, oh God. Oh my God, what's wrong with me? But then she interrupts and goes, hey, let's do a podcast about Star Trek. And that's when I just get all kinds of effusive and excited, yeah.
I'd kill my co-host, anything, really. Like,
exactly.
I'll just shove T-Rex right in the wood chipper, I'll do it.
Yeah, and by the way, we were talking about it with Stephanie Miller on her show Wednesday morning, and by the way, stephaniemiller.com, yes. And Stephanie referred to Terry Metalis as some other nerd. And we had to go, well, no. And Travis and I jump in and we're like, oh my God, no, he's the showrunner, director, writer of the greatest season of Star Trek ever. And yeah, he is also a nerd. So that's true. But we had a great time talking with him and lots of discussion about the politics of Star Trek, of course. That's why we call the show Trek Politics. Plus, I had just a million nerd questions about Picard season 3 and little details about things. Lots of questions about Captain Shaw. We talked about the score, even. We talked about Amanda Plummer, the amazing Amanda Plummer, and so many other things. So that episode, knock on all the wood, that episode's going to drop next week. And so we're going to do like an intro, or like the first half of the show is going to be Mary and I just talking about what we're doing, why we're doing this show, what we're going to be talking about on the show. Then we'll segue into the Terry Metalis interview. And that'll be sort of the format for subsequent episodes. Like the first half will be me and Mary talking about an episode of Star Trek and the allegory and values and so on around that. And then we'll segue into having a guest. We've already got Jeri Ryan booked for the show. We're going to be interviewing her very, very soon. And so we'll have that for you, too. And we've got lots of other surprises in store. Big names from the Star Trek universe. So I'm very, very excited about that. And
oh,
thank
my God.
You again,
if you get,
to
if
Mary.
You get to talk to Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, that'll be the biggest get. If we can get Patrick Stewart, that'll be the
I will
the
fucking
top
murder
of the mountain.
You. I'm sorry. I will drive to Germantown, and I will fucking put an ice pick through your eye like Trotsky. Like, seriously, while you're asleep.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. We've got some exciting guests that we're working on right now. So, again, it's trekpolitics.com, at trekpolitics on Twitter, at trekpolitics on Instagram. All right, so we had a huge Supreme Court victory. It's a shocking one. We didn't know this was coming. Dave Wasserman reported in a major surprise, the Supreme Court has ruled 5-4 that Alabama's congressional map dilutes black voting strength. This could reverberate to Louisiana, South Carolina, Georgia, forcing a creation of 2-4 new black majority districts and netting Democrats 2-4 House seats. Enormous.
I think that, like,
an enormous
that John
victory.
Roberts and Justice Kavanaugh are like those kind of idiots that, like, they're like racist assholes, but they're too cowardly to do it when an actual black person is in the room and Ketanji Brown Jackson is sitting there looking over the top of her papers, like,
Yeah, yeah. Well, she.
What y'all gonna do?
She had a lot to do with this decision behind the scenes. Stephen Mazie wrote this. He covers SCOTUS for The Economist. He said, a word on this huge surprise 5-4 decision. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson may have been the difference. She came to the oral argument with a very forceful defense of the Reconstruction Amendments as anything but race blind and critiqued abandoning decades of Voting Rights Act precedent. And yeah, so what she did was she was instrumental in convincing probably Kavanaugh and Roberts to join the three liberal justices in saving Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. This is I can't describe to you how this is going to reverberate into the effort to roll back gerrymandering, into the effort to have correct
representation.
It would
be awesome to not be lumped in with the most conservative. I mean, Athens, Georgia is completely gerrymandered into a district with one of the most conservative towns in the state.
Yeah.
So that we can't elect a liberal congressperson to Congress, because Athens totally would.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and this makes it a lot easier to do that. And not from a perspective of electioneering or anything like that. This is about drawing
representing
fair
people
maps.
Fairly.
Yes, exactly right. Fair representation, equal representation. None of these spaghetti-like districts anymore that just really focus in on the wealthy white vote and stack elections that way, where Republicans, because they are ideologically so extreme that the only way they can win is by screwing around with how votes are counted, screwing around with disenfranchising certain populations of people, heavy gerrymandering.
And doing whatever they can to thwart the popular vote.
Voter ID and all the rest of it. We could do this all goddamn day. And so, and that's strictly because they've decided that, well, the only thing that we can do now is to go after the bigots and get them on board and get the most extreme freaks and weirdos to support our party. And we can win as long as we, you know, screw around on the district shapes and so on. That's how they do it. So, okay, next. Elon Musk is casually chatting with raging anti-Semites on Twitter. Got to mention this because we... And I don't want to go off too much on this. We talked about it a little bit on Tuesday, but we're now at the 10th anniversary of the beginning of the Snowden files. Remember that all summer in 2013?
Yeah.
Well, here we are 10 years later, and we've got this guy who's got a close relationship with Vladimir Putin. We got a guy who's platforming disinformation and the worst people, the outcasts from 8chan, all over Twitter.
Elon Musk is never going to stop disgusting and disappointing you.
Well, I that's
mean,
true.
He's just going to keep opening his mouth and shitting through it again and again and again and again because he's a fucking idiot and he's a right-wing edgelord. So just get used to this feeling. Because you're going to be feeling it a lot as long as you continue to participate in his dying platform. Okay, as you were. Carry on.
Yeah, my hope is that by calling attention to this, though, that we're going to get some regulations. We're going to get some pushback from advertisers. I mean, he's lost more than half of his advertisers since he came on. So this, I think, as long as we
this is the thing of the internet. Nothing is permanent. Your favorite blog where you hang out with your buddies in the comment section is not going to stay the same.
Yeah.
This is the one raging law of the internet. It's like nothing is permanent and everything gets fucked up because it gets invaded or virus ridden or, you know, flooded by trolls or whatever, and everybody moves on. And the problem was that the public square decided that they wanted to pitch a tent on this platform run by a bunch of fucking billionaire right-wing edgelords, and that it was going to be fair and equitable. And it's not. It's a private company, and it is run by people who live, you know, have that whole Silicon Valley mindset of, like, we're going to save the village by burning shit down and breaking shit.
Right, right.
And so, like, yeah, I mean, it's just like MySpace or Snapchat or any other social medium that, you know, was popular for a while and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
And it's time to find something else, everybody. But everyone's like, no, I'm attached to this. It's like, well, guys, that's how the fucking internet works. I was there for Blogosphere 1.0. And it just is the law of the internet.
Yeah.
Everything erodes. Everything gets shitty. And you have to move on to the next thing and let go of your sentimental attachments because they don't make it on the internet.
And I think the awareness of what's happening, though, is important. The fact that we're in that situation again harkens back to 2015 and 2016 where there's an avalanche of disinformation. And we have to be aware of that. So one, we're not spreading it. And two, we can also inform other people to be aware of it. So that's just the whole point here. And to understand what kind of disinformation is being platformed. For example, one of these fake blue checks, these Twitter blue subscribers, tweeted a picture, a side-by-side picture of Joe Biden and a picture of Mel Gibson looking like super ripped and full of steroids, right? And the tweet says, you can do adrenochrome or you can hate the Jews. Which way, Western men? Joe Biden does adrenochrome and Mel Gibson hates the Jews and you should go along with Mel Gibson and his hating of the Jews.
And you know what Elon Musk's response was to that?
Interesting.
Jump in and, yeah, so very similar to that. He said, Gibson is really that buff these days? That was Elon Musk's takeaway.
No, what he said
takeaway.
Was, Gibson, is he really that buff these days?
Yeah, that's exactly what he was thinking, and then he typed it out that other way. Gibson is really that buff these days? So this guy is saying that you should be anti-Semitic and hate the Jews like Mel Gibson.
See, and why Elon Musk responds to it. But, yeah. Elon Musk, you fucking idiot. Like, I just, it's like, no, these are the preoccupations of a 13-year-old, folks.
But you know what he's
done here? You're like waiting to see like the monkey drive the car successfully in the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. He's just so like, just if you're going to stay over there, like wear your helmet and keep your belt fastened because the shit's going to fly into the mountain any minute now.
Well, you know what he's done? He hasn't just ignored the anti-Semitism in the tweet. He's also amplified that tweet by responding to it.
See, but we've responded to it now, and we have also amplified it. It's the problem. This is like the thing that haunts me.
Well, yeah, but I think
me awake at night about when I worked at that shitty website before that, whose name we won't mention, because like even as we call out Donald Trump, we're giving him more publicity. We're still spreading the erroneous message.
Yeah.
The you know, or the gazpacho police by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Like, her speech is still getting out there with the error included, yes. But there are people who are hearing it and going, man, she's right on.
Right.
You know, like, I just it's the ongoing problem of how do we cope as media agents in this new world where, like, by correcting, fact-checking, and mocking, we may also be contaminating the discourse. Like, well, this is, I mean, go ahead.
I get what you're saying, and it makes a lot of sense, but at the same time, it's the price of doing business. We have to.
You're like, listen, fucker, this ain't art, and we ain't got a choice. The dollar rules here. So shut your mouth, T-Rex.
It's like some of the criticism that you would see of Media Matters, for example. Media Matters is criticizing what they say on Fox News Channel and on the Rush Limbaugh show. So why are they amplifying those things? Well, they're not. What they're doing is they're using them as examples to platform why those things are wrong. And so that, to me, is acceptable. To talk about Donald Trump and something Donald Trump said and to describe why what he said was awful and the damage that that's causing, that's an important consideration because the alternative, and I've talked about this a million times, David, the alternative is ignoring all of it. And ignoring doesn't make them go away. It's actually much more damaging to ignore Elon Musk, to ignore Donald Trump, than it is to quote tweet them and call them out for their horseshit. Because, and I always use this example, what would happen one day if the Red Hat Entertainment Complex and the Republican Party, by and large, said, okay, from now on, we're going to ignore Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, Gavin Newsom, Rachel Maddow. Would that be great news for us or bad news for us? It would be fucking great news for us. We would love that. Of course we would love that.
You know, back when Glenn Greenwald was a nice person for 5 minutes, one of the sweetest things he ever said to me, because I was like, man, I wish I had gone to law school, or I was like just feeling inadequate. And he was like, dude, you guys, the funny people, you are the heroes of this movement because you bring in new eyes.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, we can write as many blog posts, you know, full of facts and figures as we like, but the things that people are going to remember and that they're going to repeat are the ones that are funny.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just so tired of Trump. It's like I've been chewing the same piece of gum for 10 years or something. Like, it's completely lost its flavor. I've bitten the inside of my cheeks up. Now I want to spit it out and be done with it. You know what I mean? Like,
I understand that sentiment, but at the same time, we have to bite the bullet. It's patriotism. We've got to fight back.
I know. It's just like, bite an actual bullet.
Yeah, I mean, they may be secretly exhausted, but I don't see the Republicans talking about how they're so tired of pushing the fact that the climate crisis isn't real, or they're tired of pushing it back against the gun control movement or against the liberal media or whatever bullshit trope they're talking about from day to day.
Did you see that thing from Politico about how young Republicans are actually in favor of an assault weapons ban?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. In fact, 61% of the American public is in favor of an assault weapons
ban.
Yeah,
but this is like young Republicans, like people who actually like are hoping to gain, you know, positions of power in that party someday.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Like, but they grew up, you know, barricading their classrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And pretending that, you know, or being afraid every day that somebody was going to come in and start shooting. So I think that, you know, finally we may be, like, there's hope on the horizon for us to actually take these guns out of the hands of civilians as much as we can.
Yep.
And have some real honest-to-God protections against crazy people shooting us.
Well, there needs to be some movement because we're behind the game, I think, especially when it comes to the climate crisis and things like that. The expansion of gun rights is proceeding, and it's going in that direction, really. The laws, state by state, are moving toward the Republicans, not toward the gun control movement.
To that, though, is going to be the undoing of all the gerrymandering. So thank you, Justice Ketanji.
Yes.
Brown Jackson for getting in their faces and there and being like, are you going to do this right in front of me?
All right. Well, we're out of time. We got to go. We're going to switch over to the shadow docket on our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Sign up for $5 a month and you can keep listening. We got a lot more to talk about. And guess what? Dan Bidondi is back. Yes, he is back, and we're going to talk about Dan Bidondi here, and I've got a very important question for our Patreon subscribers when it comes to that. So, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. We'll see you over there on the Shadow Docket. Bye-bye.